The difference the Holy Spirit makes. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. The difference of the Holy Spirit. What difference the Holy Spirit makes in our lives. And so before we get into the gifts of the Spirit, I want to talk a little bit about the infilling of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the difference that makes in our lives. Now, the gifts of the Spirit are different than the fruits of the Spirit. And so the fruit of the Spirit, you know, when we're saved, when we're born again, we are born into the family of God. The Bible says Jesus called it being born again. You know, and remember Nicodemus last week, I read a scripture. He said, how can you be born twice? You know, it's the natural birth is our original birth. But the Bible says that when you become a believer in Jesus Christ, the Bible says that is something we term as being born again. Because before we have Jesus in our life, before we come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, how many of you know we're a spirit man? We talked about that last week, how we're a spirit being. We live in a body and we have a soul or a mind. But before we come in connection with Jesus Christ, our spirit is dead on the inside. We are born into a sin nature. We are born spiritually dead. But when we come to know Jesus, that connection and that belief in Jesus Christ imparts life into our spirit. Our spirit becomes alive. And that's what we call being born again. Because we've had a natural birth, but when the life of Jesus Christ comes into us, we are born spiritually. Life comes into our spirit. And we are then the seed of God. The Bible says that God has given us the spirit of adoption. We are called His own. We take on the name and the nature of Jesus Christ. We become His seed. Amen? We become His seed. And now you know, with seeds, anytime you plant a seed, what do you get? It's fruit. Right? And so, the Bible talks about this. You don't plant, a thorn bush doesn't yield a fig or an apple, right? An apple tree doesn't yield a pear. But every seed produces after its own kind. And so as the life of Jesus Christ comes into us and makes us born again, the seed of God, then the fruit that we begin to bear is the fruit of the Spirit. So the fruit of the Spirit, I tell you, if you're a believer in the house tonight, how many believers do we have in the house? If you're a believer and you're born again, then you have the seed of God. You are the seed of God. And the fruit that you should be bearing is the fruit of the Spirit. Do y'all know the fruit of the Spirit by heart? I know some of you kids maybe in kids' church, y'all have learned it. How many of y'all know that by heart? Anybody? Anybody know that by heart? If you don't, that's why I've got a cheat sheet. But I just want to see. I just want to see how spiritual you are tonight. So nobody? Nobody wants to tackle them? Okay, good. I didn't either. That's why. I wrote this message this afternoon. I was actually finishing on the pew over there. I had to ask my wife, hey, where's the scripture about the fruit of the Spirit? Because, I don't know, I have my Bible on my phone. And man, I love having it on my phone. It's always with me. And usually I can search it and find anything. But I was searching it, and it was telling me there's no scriptures about fruit and spirit together. I said, you're a liar. I know there is. And so I went to somebody even smarter than the iPhone, and I asked my wife. I said, hey, where's that scripture about the fruit of the Spirit? And now y'all can all feel good about yourself, because even the preacher tonight had to ask where the scripture was. One of the most common scriptures there is. I'm so embarrassed. Anyway, but I know it now. It's in Galatians 5:22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. And as seeds of Christ, as seeds of the Lord, those are the fruits that we should be bearing just by being saved, just by being born again. Everybody say, amen. Amen. Now say, oh me. Because some of those fruits, they're kind of hard, aren't they? Forbearance, patience. Man, how many of you have to ask the Lord that, please, Lord, help me have patience when you get behind those slow drivers, you know? Oh, I tell you, I'm the I'll confess, I'm the worst, man. I hate driving it. And this is just El Dorado. I'm glad I don't live in Dallas, because I go visit my parents down there sometimes, and I just, you know, it's like, just move, people. Just move, you know. But, I get behind somebody, and I'm always looking down the road, seeing, okay, there's a gap there, and I'm like, wing, 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 you know. And my wife is always telling me, Jason, can you just not drive smart? So, yeah, I was like, it's not smartness, it's patience. I'm working. The Lord's working it. Anyway, so those are things that we should have in our life just by the fact that we're born again. So there's a good assignment for everybody right there. Galatians 5:22 through 23, the fruits of the Spirit. We've got to have those working in our lives. But those were things, those are the fruits of the Spirit that are supposed to be evident in our life as seeds of God, as people that are born again. But the gifts of the Spirit, those are kind of the fruit of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit are those things that, I don't know how to put this in words, but the gifts of the Spirit only come by the power of the Holy Ghost working inside you and working through you and working out of you. You can see in the Bible, you know, in the early church, you know, salvation was typically always followed by filling of the Holy Spirit. But it was two separate events. I mean, you know, the people that were in the upper room in Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost, how many of y'all agree they were all believers? They were all believers. But Jesus said, there was a promise that God made a promise. I'm sending to you one that will be your comforter. I'm sending to you the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so after you're born again, after you become a believer, everybody say, that's not the end of the road. God's still got more in store for us. And so we read in Acts chapter 2, we read about the day of Pentecost and how the Holy Spirit came and the baptism of the Holy Spirit happened there. And so when the Holy Spirit comes, and it's the infilling of the Holy Spirit comes, and that experience opens us up to the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I know as you're born again, when you're born again and you accept Jesus, the Spirit of God lives inside of you, then God breaks those chains of sin off your life and He gives you power over sin. But when you're baptized and you're born and filled with the Holy Spirit, then He gives you power over all the works of the devil. Amen? He gives you power over things, and He causes gifts of the Holy Spirit to become available to you to move in the power of the Holy Spirit. All right, so the difference that the Holy Spirit makes. We're going to start off in Luke 24, verse 49. If you want to go there, or click there, or however you get there, and some of you super spiritual folks, you just know what it says already, don't you? All right, so Luke chapter 24, verse 49. And if you guys are putting it on the screen, Joe, it's New King James is what I mostly use. All right, it says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. The promise of my Father, that being the Holy Spirit. So I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Everybody say endued with power from on high. That word endued there is the Greek word. Oh, I didn't write down the Greek word. I knew I forgot something. I didn't write down. Oh, well, wait a second, though. Wait a second, though. I screenshotted it. No, I didn't. Oh. But I do have the Cardinal Cafe menu if anybody wants to order. Okay, so. All right, so I did. It was. Whoa, I need to. Hold on. I can get to it real quick. Y'all bear with me. I can tell you what it means. But y'all want to tell y'all the words so y'all can look it up for yourself. Because I know y'all are some Greek experts studying folks. So Luke chapter 24, 49. I'm sorry. Let me get there. I can tell you what it is. But it means, endued means to go into, to sink into, plunge into, to be clothed with. So this isn't something that He says, you're not just going to have access to the power from on high. He said, I'm going to clothe you with power from on high. It's something you're going to sink into. You're going to be enveloped in. It's going to be part of you. Amen. Everybody say, clothed in. The power from on high. And the word power there, and I didn't, this is when I screenshotted. The word power there is the word dunamis. Dynamis, I don't know how you say it. Dunamis. Dunamis, yeah, that's what he said. Dunamis. It's strength. power, ability. And it says underneath that, inherent power. Power residing in something or someone by virtue of its nature. Power of and power to perform miracles. But it's something that is inherent power. It resides there by virtue of its nature. And so, when we take on the nature of Christ, when we're, as I told you, we are the seed of Jesus Christ. And when we're born and filled and endued with this power from on high, we are clothed in this power. It's not something that you have to access or reach for or grab for. You wear it all the time. Everybody says it's like your skin. It's like your skin. You're clothed in it. It's part of you. You're endued with this power from on high. Power that is not ours by nature, but because we take on the nature of Jesus Christ, it is inherently ours. Everybody say, inherently mine. Because you are the Son of God. You are the daughter of God. You are the child of the King. And you have access to everything. Not just access, but you have the very nature of Jesus on the inside of you. And when you are filled with the Spirit of God, everything that the Spirit of God has everything that the Spirit of God has the ability to do, it says that you have that inherent power. You are clothed in it. It becomes you. It becomes part of you. Amen? Amen. So power. I never did get you that word, but it starts with a P-H and it's something else. I don't know. But anyway, y'all can look that up. But in that scripture, if you go look it up. Anyway, but so you are clothed with, plunged into strength, power, ability because of and coming from the nature of God Almighty. Amen. Amen. The God who spoke this very world into existence. The God who can speak your miracle into existence. I tell you what, if you are struggling in your marriage, if you have financial difficulty, if you're fighting addiction or bondage, no matter what your problem is, I tell you what, God can speak into your life and change your circumstances and change you just like that. The power of God is able to do that. And you are clothed and endued with the power from on high. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. There. I don't have my cue cards tonight. I can't tell you when to say it. Y'all just have to figure it out. Anyway, all right. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. So, well, put your finger in 1 Corinthians 12:7. But power from on high. The Holy Spirit. The first thing I want to talk to you tonight, the difference of the Holy Spirit is that you have the power of God's Holy Spirit inside you. The scripture we read a couple weeks ago is that we have the same Spirit. The Bible says we have the same Spirit in us. It's the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. Yeah. Amen? The same Spirit that raised Him from the dead. And if you don't remember the story back on Easter just a couple weeks ago, the Bible says that Jesus stole the keys of death and hell from the enemy. And it says He made an open show of the devil. How many of y'all want to make? How many of y'all want God to make an open show of the devil in your life? I'm telling you, when He comes at you with His best shot, when He comes at you with everything He can muster, everything He can get at you with, the Bible says that because of the power that we are endued with, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, God can do that on your behalf too. He can make an open show of the devil. Not just defeat the devil, not just get you out barely by the skin of your teeth, but He wants to make an open show of the devil in your life. He wants you to be victorious and He wants you to conquer the devil with power. He wants to give you bragging rights. He don't want you to say, well, I barely got out. He wants to give you bragging rights over the devil. Amen? I mean, I know in sports, you know, when you barely beat somebody, it's one thing. But when you skunk them, you know, it's hard to keep from getting the big head. You know, you think you're all that, you know. But I tell you what, the enemy wants, I mean, the Lord wants us, the Lord wants to skunk the devil in our life. Do y'all believe that? Do y'all believe that? You can when you're endued with power from on high. In Paul's life, and Peter's life, and the disciples, you see this, that before they were filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, they worked, they did things, man, they were right alongside Jesus, and they were doing some amazing things. But after they were baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, it says they went out and they passed by a lame man that was begging outside the temple. And this was the difference in their life. Before, remember, there were demons they couldn't even cast out. They had to get Jesus to do it for them. But this lame man wanted some money and he said, silver and gold have I none, but what I have, I give thee. Now, notice he didn't say what I've got access to or what I've been given rights to, which we do. We do have access to. But it wasn't a thing that he had to reach for and grab for. He said, but what I have, I give thee. And he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And the man got up and he walked. You and I have that same power. It's something you have. And I don't really know why this is where the Lord pointed me to tonight. But I just believe there's some of us here tonight. You need to know that it's not something that you have to reach for and try to attain. It's not a pipe dream. But it's something that you have when you are born again and filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You have power to overcome. You have power to reach out and to see other people overcome. Amen? It's something you have. Everybody say, I have it. I have it. All right. Praise God. Now go to 1 Corinthians 12:7. 1 Corinthians 12:7. Oh, wait a second. There's that other Greek word I was talking about. See what happens when you write the message on the fly or on the deck. Maybe I was starting to get sleepy at that point. So anyway, 1 Corinthians 12:7. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. And that word there, that little phrase there, manifestation of the Spirit, the Greek word for that is phanero. I don't know if they say it like that, but phanero. The guy on the little speaker on my phone said it like that, phanero. So anyway, I try to say it like him. That way If it's wrong, y'all can take it up with Blue Letter Bible. So anyway, it says phanero. It means to make known, to be realized, a shining forth. A shining forth. The Holy Spirit needs you and I to show this world the light of Jesus. The Holy Spirit wants to use you to shine the light of Jesus to this world, to the darkness in this world. And he wants you to be someone, a light. The Bible says that we're like a city on a hill. A city on a hill, a light that cannot be hidden. A light that cannot be hidden. I'll never forget, when I was a kid, we used to go to Six Flags every year with the church. This is before we came to Victory. We went to the church and I was real little. But I remember going to Six Flags every year. And I always knew, Miss Mary, you remember that, don't you? You know, y'all probably went a couple of times when I was a little toddler. Y'all probably just adored me that whole trip, didn't you? Yeah, we want to ride with Jason. He's such a sweet, wonderful little kid. I'm sure that's what you're thinking. I just probably brought up bad memories of that trip with her, of Jason being annoying the whole time. Anyway, but I remember as a kid, man, that's a long trip to Dallas. But I always remember, we always leave during the day sometime, and we get there in the evening, and we'll go to Six Flags the next day. But I always remember, man, it's such a long trip, hard to get there, you know, but there was only one place right as you're coming into Dallas that you top the hill, and all of a sudden you see the lights. You see the lights of the city. You see the Dallas skyline. I mean, you see everything, the lights on here. It was the city. And every time I read that scripture that says we're like a city on a hill, I remember that. I think about that. Because, man, when you top that hill, man, it was like, boom, into a kid from Camden, Arkansas. That was awesome. I mean, it was like, look at all those lights. I can't even see Walmart. You know, that's the only thing lit up in Camden at night is Walmart. And so I'm like, man, they must have a huge Walmart. Look at all the Walmarts they got. You know, it's just amazing. The lights, like a city on a hill. But that's what we're to be to this world. That's what God intended for us to be to this world, to this lost world. That when they see us, they see something amazing. They see a light. They see something that tells them, hey, there's something going on there. Hey, they've got something going on in their life. I want to check it out. And I remember as a kid, it was just so exciting seeing those lights and knowing I'm in Dallas. Actually, I didn't say I'm in Dallas. I was like, I'm at Six Flags. You know, because everything was Six Flags. The whole place, it was all about Six Flags then. It was like, where do you live, Six Flags? Oh, look at all these people that live at Six Flags. Anyway, but the Holy Spirit wants us to be that. A light. and something that's exciting. Christians ought to be the most exciting, joyful, hardworking, successful people the world knows. And if you've got the Holy Spirit inside of you, and some of us are getting there. I know we're not all there. I'm not there either. But that's where God is taking us. To where when people come in contact with us, it's like a city on a hill. It's amazing. It's awesome. And not that we're awesome and that we're special or that we're good, but the person, the Holy Spirit of God inside of us makes us something that people want. There's something inside of us that people want, and it gives us an opportunity to share with them. And so as people see something in our life that they want and they like and they long for and maybe they don't have, then we can say, the difference is Jesus Christ. The difference is the power of the Holy Spirit working in my life. Let's be a city on a hill. But the manifestation of the Spirit is the shining forth. It's the shining forth. Because we're supposed to be the light to this dying world. Amen? The light shines through the church. And the church is who? Who's the church? You and I. We're the church. We are the church. Praise God. Another thing that the difference of the Holy Spirit does. Another one is found in Acts 4:31. It says, I'll give you time to get there. Acts 4:31. It says, and I'm watching the clock because I was already asked tonight by someone. I won't say who because it would embarrass them. Can I look that way? I don't know. I'm just going to try to. I've already asked by someone, can you please leave early tonight? Can we cut us out early tonight? So I told him I was ministering on. I'm being so sold out that you don't care what time it is. I know that person's sweating right now thinking I'm fixing to call them out. I'm not going to do it. All right. So, Acts 4:31. I'm watching the clock. All right. Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. They spoke the word of God with boldness. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, that's one of the key things that He does. I tell you what, it can take us from shy little lambs to bold warriors, to bold people to proclaim the word of God. In fact, you remember Peter, when they captured Jesus and they were scourging him, or they were actually just questioning him and accusing him of those kind of things. The Bible says that Peter, the one who Jesus said was a rock, he denied Jesus three times. Remember that? But just a short time after that, after he was filled with the Holy Spirit, the Bible says that Peter spoke in boldness. In Acts 2:14, you can read about it. After the place of sugar, it says, Peter stood up and spoke with boldness. And he proclaimed the message of Jesus Christ. Boldness. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, you'll be filled with boldness to be my witnesses, is what it says. God will give you boldness. I don't know how many times I've wanted to share with somebody or witness to somebody or just talk to somebody about Jesus. But man, fear just set in. How many of you been there? Have you been there? Wanted to talk to somebody, but man, you just didn't know what they would think. Didn't know how they would take it. But when we are filled with the Holy Spirit has the power to give us boldness to where it does not matter what men think, but it matters only what God thinks. And when God gives us an assignment, we do it. We do it. I learned that lesson about that the hard way. The hard way. And I think I've shared this before, but I'll share it tonight. Just to tell you how much of a failure I was in that. But just to tell you the importance of being bold when God puts something on your heart to speak. I'll never forget. My parents had moved and they had their home for sale. It was a mobile home and we were still here. And so there was a couple that wanted to come look at it to see about it. And so my wife and I, we went out there and met them and showed them the house and everything. And while they were looking at it and everything, I just had this urge to share Jesus with this guy. And so I just felt like I'm supposed to talk to this guy about Jesus. And so my menial little way of doing that, because I really didn't know where they were, how what they believed, that kind of thing was. And so I asked them, I said, hey, do y'all go to church anywhere? And they said, well, we go such and such. And I was like, okay. I said, well, you know, so just wondered if you, we were doing a young couples group at that time in Camden, and young couples ministry. And I said, well, we got, you know, we have young couples, you know, meetings, we cook out and do different things and have Bible studies. And I said, you know, if you're ever looking for a church, you want to go somewhere, I invited them to church. And I felt good about myself after that. You know, I was like, okay, yeah, I talked to him, invited him to church. Yeah, I was real good. I patted myself on the back and went on my way. I found out 2 weeks later that a week after I spoke to that guy, he was shot and killed. He was shot and killed. And I just cried and prayed that God would forgive me for stopping short of what he told me to do. I mentioned something. But I'm telling you, because of fear, because I feared what he would think or what he'd believe or he didn't want to talk about Jesus, I stopped short of what I knew I was supposed to do in my heart. And I prayed and I asked God to forgive me, because I know if that kid, I'm praying that that guy, I'm praying that somebody else ministered to him or he turned to God. I believe that he did, but I'm just praying because you know what? His blood is on my hands. God gave me an opportunity to witness to somebody, to tell people about Jesus. But instead of just being bold about it, I skirted around it. And I don't know. I hope I wasn't, but I may have been the last opportunity that gentleman had before he died. I'm telling you, the power of the Holy Spirit, it's there. He's there to give us boldness. He's there to give us boldness. I was filled with the Holy Spirit, but I didn't let the Holy Spirit do what he wanted to do in my life so that I could reach him. That guy. It's so important that we allow the boldness that the Holy Spirit brings to be evident in our life. Everybody say boldness.
Boldness.
Boldness. Boldness. Another difference that the Holy Spirit makes. Now let's go to Acts 4:32. Acts 4:32, just the very next scripture. It says, now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things they possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. They were of one heart. It's another thing the Holy Spirit does. A move of the Holy Spirit does is it brings unity. It brings unity. It breaks down racial barriers. It breaks down social barriers. It breaks down any barriers that would come between the people of God. Because the Holy Spirit empowers us and knows that we are all children of God. It doesn't matter what side of the tracks you come from. We are all brothers and sisters. We are all brothers and sisters. And you see this evident. And any time there's a major move of the Holy Spirit. And I thought it was really neat that the Azusa Street Revival anniversary was this weekend. Did y'all know that? The Azusa Street Revival. It was a major Pentecostal move, revival and movement in the United States that really spurred the Pentecostal movement in modern days. It was the Azusa Street Revival. I mean, there was something on TV yesterday. It was like a 3-hour deal. They had a prayer meeting in Camden about, you know, around it. But anyway, the Azusa Street Revival, it started in 1906 and went to 1915. 1906 to 1915. Do the math. What's that? 9 years? Man, we think we're all worn out when we have a 3-day or a week long revival. We had to come to church every night for a week. Man, they had a 9-year revival. Isn't that something? But it started actually at a house on North Bray Street. I wrote something down. A house on North Bray Street, because they were preaching. The guy that was preaching there was preaching the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, and the power of the Holy Spirit to heal, to deliver, to do all miracles of all kinds. And the church they were supposed to start off with didn't like the message, so they shut them down. So they started meeting in a house. And they met at this house until the crowds got so big, and they would sing and pray and stuff on the porch. And after a few days, the porch collapsed. So then they had to find somewhere else to meet. So then they found an old church building on Azusa Street. And that was in 1906. And the first person that spoke in tongues was like 3 days into the revival. Here's the thing. This is what I loved about this. When I was reading about this, I thought the guy that started this revival, preaching this revival, had been filled with the Spirit. But the guy that started preaching this revival, he didn't get filled to the Spirit until several days after the revival started. there was some other guy that got filled with the Spirit, and then six more people. And then finally, like on the fifth night or something like that, he got filled with the Spirit. And that's kind of weird to me, but that lets me know that if I desire the gifts of the Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit working in my life, even though I don't have it all now, if I'm hungry for it and if I go after it and I pray for it, then it will be manifested in my life. And this church too, I tell you, we may not see miracles every day. We see miracles, but it's not as common as it needs to be. But if we, the church, will be hungry for the move of the Holy Spirit in our church, then He will come and manifest in our midst. But this guy wasn't even filled, but he got filled. But this revival went on, and the thing about it was, this is 1906. Okay? This is where, you know, segregation and all this kind of stuff, people thought it was ridiculous that whites, blacks, Hispanics, Asians were all coming to the same meeting. Some people thought that was just disgusting, and it's not heard of. It wasn't common back in those days, but I'll tell you, when there's a move of the Holy Spirit, those barriers are broken down. They had a quote from a guy that was at the revival. I read it. It said there were rich people, poor people, black people, white people, Hispanic people, illiterate people, educated people, well-dressed people, people who had nothing, but they were all there in one spirit, and miracles were happening. Amen? When the Holy Spirit is involved, unity takes place. And in the book of Acts 2:7, in fact, we'll go there real quick. Acts 2:7 says, when they were all amazed and marveled, saying, look, one another, look, these people that are speaking, they're all Galileans, but they're speaking in our own native language. I'm going to summarize it here. But anyway, there's about three or four scriptures there that goes on. It was all these different nationalities that were there, and they all heard the message of Jesus Christ in their own native language. The message of the Holy Spirit is a message for all nations. It's a message for all people. It's a message that crosses every social barrier, racial barrier, or any kind of barrier. It breaks those down. It's a message that brings unity. Everybody say, unity. 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 The difference of the Holy Spirit is He brings unity. Amen. And that's one thing I love about our church. I love about our church is that we're not a black church. We're not a white church. We're not a Hispanic church. We're a church for all. We're a church for everybody. And there's not, and I'm not knocking any other churches, but you can't go into every church in this city and see that. You can't. And I remember years ago, Nicole and I invited some friends of ours. Years ago, we were going to a different church, and we invited some friends of ours to come to church with us. And when they came there, man, I thought they enjoyed it. I asked them everything. I was like, hey, John, enjoy it? And they said, yeah, it just felt kind of weird because we were the only black people. And I'm like, you know what? I was like, it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way. Praise God that our church is a Spirit-filled church. Because where the Spirit is, there's unity. Amen? Amen. The Holy Spirit brings unity. And my last thing I want to talk about tonight is that is in 1 Corinthians 4:26. Let's go there together. 1 Corinthians 4:26. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, that each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation, let all things be done for edification? This verse here says, each of you has something. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, it's not just for pastors, it's not just for the leaders, it's not just for evangelists, it's for everyone. Everyone. Everybody say it when you say, each of you. Each of you. The Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, if they're going to be in operation in the church like they should be, they have to operate through each and every one of us. Now, there's an orderly fashion that it should happen, and there's abuse of things, and there's non-abuse of things, and we'll get into that next week as we start talking through some of the major reasons why our churches may not be experiencing and moving in the power, the gifts of the Holy Spirit in our church. But one thing you need to know, that the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit is for each and every one of us. It's for the body. In Luke 11:9-13, You can go there if you want to. I'm just going to talk about it real quick. It's, I'm sorry. Wait, that's not the right one. There's another verse. I don't have it written down. But it's the verse where Jesus said, these signs will follow those that believe. I tell you what, the power of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and the workings of the Holy Spirit follows each of you, everyone who believes. Say that with me. Say, everyone who believes. These signs will follow them. And you can read it yourself. You know the scripture. You can Google it if you don't. But each of you, everyone, the gifts of the Spirit are for everybody. It's for me. It's for you. Praise God. And the last verse I want to go to here is Luke 11, verses 9 and verse 13. It says, this is Jesus talking. It says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. And let's come down to verse 13. And it says in 13, if you then, being evil, it's talking about us, a fallen world, a fallen generation, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Now, let's read that again. I mean, just wait a second. So, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who are perfect? No, that's not what it says. How much more will the Holy Spirit... Oh, okay, come on, y'all. You have to work with me. This is what I do in the kids' class. They got to answer me. You got to say, no! No, Pastor Jason! No! You know, you don't have to flail your arms, but, you know. Anyway, so, if you do, you'll get bonus. You might even get a piece of gum. But anyway, so... How many? It says he will freely, everybody say freely, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. There's not a person sitting in this room today that doesn't have the ability to ask. And so I just wanted to close this message tonight. Joe, do you got some good worship music up there? You don't? Preferably something about the Holy Spirit. I know it's last minute and I'm asking you to do this in like 2 seconds. But in their repertoire of knowledge and vast media up there, I'm sure they can find some kind of worship music. Here's what I want to do. I just want to close out this service like this. I want us to just put on some music up there. And I just want to spend just a couple of minutes. It's 3 minutes till service is over. I want you to spend a couple of minutes, and you can get out a minute early if you want to. For the person that wanted to get out early. Anyway, but I just want to spend just a couple of minutes as this music plays. Let's just... forget everybody around you. If you're next to somebody noisy, you may want to scoot over a seat. But anyway, let's just take a couple of minutes and let's do what it says here. Because this scripture, we've got the scripture. Luke 11:13 says that he will give the Holy Spirit freely to those who ask. And so before we get into talking about the power of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I want us to take just a couple of minutes tonight and let's just ask. Let's just ask for our Heavenly Father to freely pour out the Holy Spirit on us personally. Every one of you need to have your own personal Pentecostal experience. If you're not filled with the Spirit, ask Him. If you are filled with the Spirit, ask that He give an abundance, a measure of the Holy Spirit that will cause this church to be like the city on a hill that shines its light to this whole city. So let's just take a couple minutes and just ask. Ask God to give us a new measure, a fresh drink of the living water, the Holy Spirit.